Okay, so I came across this and decided to make it this week's mitzvah. The mitzvah is the pasuk of Tamim Tihiyah Im Hashem Elokecha. So first of all, it's not in the Rambam. Okay, the Rambam doesn't count this as a mitzvah. As a result, the Sefer Achinuch doesn't count it as a mitzvah. And one of the things we want to talk about is why. Right? Tamim Tihiyah Im Hashem Elokecha. It's a hard pasuk to translate. Now, why, by the way, so why am I giving it on Tamim Tihiyah Im Hashem Elokecha? The answer is because I saw the Rav Asher gave a thing on this. But that's not why. The reason is because Noach is called, right? Ela toldos Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamim haya bedorotav. Noach is described as a tamim. And it raises the question, what I'd really like to do during the course of this year is deal with the fascinating discussion about what the mitzvah of Tamim Tihiyah Im Hashem Elokecha would be. What does it mean to be perfect or to be whole with God? And at the end, talk about, why this may have been a defining characteristic of Noach in this week's parsha. Okay. It's funny, colloquially, if somebody is described as a Tamim, right? It has extremely positive attributes, but if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes it comes with some negative connotation. Like he's a tamim means he believes everybody. He's almost simple minded. Yaakov ish tam yoshev ohalim. It's a slightly different context, but also somehow, he was not a worldly person. Okay, I want to talk about all these things in the context of the halacha. So let's start with the three real places that the word appears in the Torah and the things we learn from them. So this week's parsha, right? Eila toldos Noach, Noach ish tzadik tamim haya bedorotav, Elohim italech Noach. I think if you had asked me, I would translate Noach was an ish tamim is some form of perfect. And it turns out, that's how Onkelos translates it, right below. Elaine toldos Noach, Noach givar zaki shlim. Noach was innocent and shlim from shalem, from whole. Hava bidoroi in his generation bidchal toda Hashem alich Noach. In the fear of God, Noach walked. Okay, let's leave that. We're about to read about Avram Avinu, source number two. And the psukim say, "Vahi Avraham ben Tishim shana v'teisha shanim, vayera Hashem el Avram, vayomer elav ani kel shakai, hit halech lefanai veheye tamim." God says to Avram, "Walk in front of me and be tamim." And Rashi there quotes the Gemara that Avraham was better than Noach. Avram could walk in front of God and be tamim. Noach walked behind God and was tamim. Okay, a distinction that doesn't interest us right now. The context does. What does it mean when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham, Veheye Tamim? Well, presumably, in the context of the Parsha, Ve'etna Briti Beini Uveinecha Va'arbe Otcha B'Ma'od Ma'od, he's about to get the mitzvah of Bris Milah. So there is certainly in the context of Avraham an idea of Tamim that perhaps relates to his physical presentation, right? Once he removes the arla, he'll be tamim, not simple-minded or not perfect in that sense, but tamim in a physical sense. The arla is an imperfection on the human, on a male human body, and now it'll be removed. That's another possible explanation of tamim. But then we come to the third place where, which really is the source for the mitzvah in the Ramban. And here the context is critical. Okay, it's in Shoftim, in Devarim. The Torah says as follows, Lo yimotzei b'char ma'avir b'no uvito ba'esh, kosem kisamim me'onein u'menachesh u'mechashef. There should not be found amongst you somebody who passes, a child through fire. It's a form of witchcraft. It's molech. Kosem kisamim, he divines things, me'oneinu menacheshu mechashef, he has all kinds of sorcery, he uses bones, v'chover chover, v'shoel ovi, yidoni, v'doreshal hametim. Okay? It's all forms of future telling. Astrology, card reading, all the different ways. Okay? And that, the pasuk is clear. Ki to'avat Hashem kol osei eila. These things are an abomination in front of God. Ubiglal ha-to'avot ha-eila, Hashem alokecha morish otam mipanecha. And because of these abominations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kicked out all these people from Eretz Yisrael and gave it to us. And then the pasuk says, Tamim tihiyeh im Hashem alokecha. I think the simplest understanding is there are all these attempts to figure out the future. They are all an abomination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead, he says to us, Tamim tihiyeh im Hashem alokecha. Be perfect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, but here perfect doesn't really work. Here perfect has to mean something else. Okay, so the first question we'll have and we'll have to deal with is, what does it mean in this context to be perfect with God? And that's the first question. The second question, which is going to turn out to be a major machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, is what do we really think about all of these things? About a kosem kisamim, a me'onein, a menachesh, a mechashev. Are these things completely worthless? And therefore, the Torah prohibits them? Or could it be that there really is some value to this? And nevertheless, the Torah prohibits them, right? That's a really important question in understanding, these psukim in the Torah. Now, everybody can think of sort of examples in the Torah, or certainly in Chazal, where it sounds like there's some truth to this. Bilam was a kosem, and he's got a whole parsha, and it seems like he has some powers. So we struggle to figure out what is it. He can sort of guess the proper moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be angry. Is there value to these things, and they're prohibited because there's value? Or are they a complete joke and they're prohibited because they're a complete joke? Okay? Those are the introductory questions. Let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara in source number 4 in Psachim, Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Bet, says as follows. Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Yossi Ish Hutzal. Rav said to Rabbi Yossi, who came from a place called Hutzal, Minayin She'ein Shoalim Bikaldiim. How do you know that you're not allowed to, use or ask questions to these certain types of people who claim to see the future, right? They work for the psychic hotline. Shenemar, tamim tihiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Now, in the Gemara, it sounds like tamim tihiyeh im Hashem Elokecha is a mitzvah that prohibits trying to figure out the future, right? It's a mitzvah that prohibits, going to calling the psychic hotline, which, by the way, I understand is a complete scam. Just want to let you know, if you call the psychic hotline, when they ask you for your credit card number, you say to them, hey, you're a psychic. Shouldn't you know that already? Okay, but that's a side point. Let's come back to this. The Gemara seems to say, it took a while till somebody laughed at my joke. I'm a little disappointed. Okay, fine. The Gemara seems to say that the reason why you're not allowed, the Gemara seems to read our psukim in source number 3 in the following way. The reason why you're not allowed to go to a kosem kisamim and a chover chaver and all these things is because tamim tiyei mashem alokecha. You should be perfect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, how does the Rambam relate to this whole area? So the Rambam, the great rationalist, won't surprise anybody what his view is. Source number 5 says the Rambam in Hilchas Avodas Kochavim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tes Zayin, Udivarim Ha'elu Kulan Divrei Sheker V'Chazav Hein. Says the Rambam, no beating around the bush. There is no truth to astrology or to card reading or to any form that people have of telling the future. Not only that, says the Rambam, Vehem shehitu bahen ovdei kochavim akadmonim negoyeh ha'aratzos, kidei sheyin hagu acharehen. And they've used this form of future telling. That's how they get people to worship Avodah Zarah. And there's a certain truth to that, right? You're not really interested in somebody introducing you to some new God or some new power. But if the new power could foresee the future, if the new power could help you invest or bet on football games or whatever you do, well, that would be a way that would entice us. Says the Rambam, there is no such power. Ve'ein ra'ui li'Yisrael she'hem chachamim mechukamim lehimashech b'havalim elu. Says the Rambam, we're an intelligent, thoughtful people. We have no business wasting our time with sorcery and magicians and the like. And he goes on, kol ha'ma'amin bidvarim ha'elu u'kiyotzei bohen, anybody who believes in it, u'mechashev b'libo shehem emet, u'dvar chachma, aval ha'Torah asar ta'an. He said, let's say you're the kind of person who says, no, I think it's true, but I'm not going to do it, of course. I don't read my horoscope because the Torah prohibited it. He says, such a person, eina ela min haschalim u'mechasrei hadat. He's an idiot. And now a little sexist stuff. U'bichlal ha'nashim v'haktanim she'ein da'atan shleima. The Rambam says, he's like an uneducated person who believes that there's truth in astrology. Aval ba'alei ha'chochma u'tmimei hadat. But smart people, and here you see the word u'tmimei hadat, perfect people with perfect knowledge, yedu b'ra'ayot b'rurot, shekol elu hadvarim she'asra Torah einam divrei chachma ela tohu vehevel shenim shechu bohem chasrei hadat v'natshu kol darkei ha'emet biglalan. Says the Rambam, any intelligent person knows there is zero truth to all the different ways that you could see the future. And for that reason, the Torah says, Tamim tihye im Hashem Elokecha. So the Rambam is zero truth to any kind of future telling. And to believe that there's truth to future telling puts you at risk. You're not allowed to say there's truth to it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me not to. You have to say there is no truth to it whatsoever. And again, here we see the Rambam quotes the pasuk of Tamim Tiyei Mashem Alokecha. But again, when you look in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, it's not there. He doesn't count it as a separate mitzvah. Okay, presumably, I think the Rambam must read it as kind of an editorial comment. Meaning, all these things are asur. You know why? Editorial comment, Tamim Tiyei Mashem Alokecha. Because you should put your faith in God. Okay? So that's the Shitas HaRambam. The Shitas HaRambam is there's no truth to this. But the Ramban, in a number of places, including in the Sefer HaMitzvos, thinks, in fact, that Tamim Tiyei Im Hashem Elokecha is a mitzvat aseh min haTorah. And I would say even more than that, he thinks it's a foundational principle of Yahadus and of being a believer in God. Background of just simply, what is the Hasagot HaRamban? The Ramban never wrote his own Sefer HaMitzvot. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvot, and the Ramban comments on them. Okay, so sometimes the Ramban will comment generally. Sometimes the Ramban will say, I don't think you should count this as a mitzvah. And there are, I believe, if I remember correctly, 15 mitzvos that the Ramban says he would not count. So at the end of the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Ramban wrote a section really sweetly titled Mitzvot Sheshachachan Harav. Mitzvot that the Rambam forgot to count. The Rambam didn't forget to count them. They're machlo, you know, the Rambam didn't think they should be counted. But the Ramban has a bunch of mitzvot there. Okay? The most famous of which is Mitzvot Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But he also has this mitzvah. The eighth mitzvah in his list in source number 6 as follows. Mitzvah Shminit Shenitztavinu lihiyot levavenu tamim imo yitbarach. V'hu shenamar tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. There is a mitzvah, says the Ramban, for our hearts to be tamim. So again, we're back to what does the word mean, but we'll see in a second, with God. What does it mean? Explains the Ramban. He does this on the Torah also. It's a significant point for him. V'inyan hatzava'a hazot, sheniyached levaveinu elav levado yitbarach. That when we think of needing help, right? When we want help, when we want advice, when we want to know how to turn and how to act in our lives, there is one and only one place that we turn to, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'shena'amin shehu levado oseh kol v'hu hayodea amitat kol atid. God does everything. God knows the future. U'mimenu levado nidrosh haba'ot. And only from God are we allowed to ask about the future. Who do we ask? Min Niviyav, we could ask his prophets, Omei Anshei Chasidav, Rotzel Lomar Urim V'tumim. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, where there are Neviim, you could ask questions about your future. Or you could go to the Navi and say, what job should I have? V'lo Nidrosh Mehovrei Shamayim, V'lo Mizulatam, V'lo Niftach She'avo Divrahem Al Kol Panim. We're not allowed to ask astrologers, and we're not allowed to believe in what they tell us. Okay? Aval. Im nishma davar mehem, if we hear, if you happen to read your horoscope, nomar hakol bidei shamayim, everything is in God's hands, ki hu mishane ma'arechet hakochavim v'hamazalot kiritzono, because he can change the path of planets as is his will. Mefer otot badim v'kosmim yuhulal. Okay, he could change whatever the astrology shows. V'na'amin shekol haba'ot tihiyana eleinu kifi hitkarvenu la'avodato. And everything that happens to us is based on our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I'll explain. What the Ramban is hinting at, or almost saying, is the following. I think the Ramban believes there is truth in astrology. Okay, so then why can't we believe it? Well, the Torah said we can't believe it, but why? What's underlying that? Because the answer is that God could change anything at any point in time. And, if Venus is rising in the house of whatever, that this is a great time, to buy a vacation home in Puerto Rico, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could change that. To believe that the planets should determine what you're doing is to say, I don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has control over the planets. But it's not because it's wrong, and it's not because it's a waste of time. It's because believing in forces other than God undermines your belief in God. And so according to the Ramban, the reason why it's usur to follow astrology is because it undermines your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because even though there is truth in astrology, since we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change that whenever he wants, we can only rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not on outside forces. Okay, but it's not the Rambam. The Rambam thinks it's all nonsense. The Ramban thinks, no, there's value to it, but it's a more sophisticated mitzvah for the Ramban. There is value to it, but the value undermines your reliance on God. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prohibits it. Now, what does he mean? What the Ramban means is, the Ramban thinks there's a sliding scale of Hashkacha Pratis, of divine providence, right? So Avram Havinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had divine providence over every single part of his life. With respect to the rest of us, there's less divine providence, right? There are parts of my life, presumably, that just play out. Although, don't mean to upset you, the Ramban thinks if you live in Israel, you get more Hashgacha Pratis than you do, any place else in the world. Okay? But again, for the Ramban, there is truth to this, but it's prohibited. Va'amru ba'acharon shel psachim, this is the Gemara we quoted before, minayin she'en shalim davar minakaldiim, shenamar tamim tiyim ma'ashem lokecha. V'zehu tir gomo shel onkelos, this is also onkelos that we read, Shalim tiyeh bedachalta d'Hashem alakecha. You should be perfect in your fear of God. Ube mitzvah azot nitztava Avraham Avinu ka'ashebo lichrot lo brit v'latet lo zera. Exactly as we saw in source number 2 on top. God gave this mitzvah to Avram. Amar hitalech lefanai veheye tamim. Get a bris milah and have perfect faith in me. Ka'inyan she'amru, say me'itz tagninut shalcha. Says the Ramban, it's like when God said to Avraham, leave your astrology. Okay, this is worth looking into because it's fascinating stuff. Forget the Gemara and Shabbos. It's better in the Rashi that most of us know. Okay, when God comes to tell Avraham that he's going to have a child and he's going to have many, many children, the Pasuk says, Vayotze oto achutza. I'm in source number 7. Go outside. So the simple pshat is, Lefi pshuto, Hotzio me ahalo lachutz lirot hakochavim. No, he's going to tell him that one day you're going to have, you know, children the number of the stars. So therefore, he wanted to take him outside so he would see the stars. Here's the part. Ulefi midrasho, but according to the medrash, Amar lo tsei meitztagninut shelcha. He told him, no. Go outside, meaning leave behind the astrology that you're aware of or that you perhaps believe in. Shera'ita b'mazalot she'encha atid l'hamid ben. Because Avram Avinu figured out through the stars and what have you that he was never going to have a son. Says God to him, no, Avram ain lo ben. Aval Avraham yesh lo ben. V'chein, Sarai lo teleid. Aval Sarah Teled, Ani Korei Lachem Shem Acher, V'yishtane HaMazal. Right? It's hard. I don't know what the Rambam would do with this Medrash. Okay, the Rambam has plenty of Medrashim that he doesn't take literally. But the Medrash seems to say that no other than Avraham Avinu looked at the astrology and said, you know what, I'm never going to have a child. And God said to him, and this is exactly the Ramban's point, you're right. In the astrology, you're not going to have a child. But astrology doesn't govern the world. I do, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Avram doesn't have a son, so I'll change your name to Avraham. Sarai doesn't have a son, I'll change her name to Sarah. We're not subservient to, certainly God is not subservient to some kind of astrology. But what's clear in the Medrash is that there was some truth to it. God had to change it. The bigger chiddush seems to be that Avram Avinu, the first monotheist, you know, was aware of some power that existed in planets and stars. And there are tons of medrashim like this. Maybe the most famous one is, right, Paro says to Moshe, no, you can't take women and children out of Mitzrayim. Re'u ki ra'a neged p'neichem. And, right, you know, it seems no, because there's evil, there's bad waiting for you. But Rashi quotes the Medrash that Ru'u ki ra'a neged p'neichem. I saw in astrology, there's a star called Ra'a, and it's bad for you. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after Chet HaEgel, wanted to destroy the Jewish people, right, Moshe says to him, Lama yomru Mitzrayim bira'a hotziyam laharogotam beharim. Bira'a, meaning that exact star that Paro foretold, why should they then say, oh, you know, Paro was right? So certainly in the Medrashim and certainly in tons of Rashis, the idea that there may be some truth to astrology is there. And it makes the Ramban's take even stronger. Meaning the Ramban says there's truth to it, but to believe it is to undermine your belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because what you're supposed to believe is that any of that can be changed through our own good deeds and through our own good efforts. And so to believe in astrology for the Ramban is even worse for the Rambam. For the Rambam, you're an idiot if you do it. For the Ramban, it undermines your belief in God. And that's the prohibition. Tamim tiyei mashem lokecha means be whole, be complete, be completely devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that no other force matters to you. Anything you want, anything you hope for is completely contingent on only two things, how good you are and God's response to your goodness. Anything else, even though there's truth to it, undermines your perfect belief in God. Okay? That's a foundational machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. Now, the Ramban now,
Ellie, how would the Rambam justify or explain a Navi? I think it was Shaul that went off to.
Yeah, he goes to see the sorceress.
Yeah.
Hard to know. Sometimes the Rambam comes across as so rational, you wonder what he does with certain sources. I don't know. There's tons of things the Rambam would have to explain. You know, how does he explain Balak? How does he explain that whole story? Okay, not for now, but it's a fair point. I'm announcing now. I'm not dealing with it because it's too hard for me, but it's a fair point. Okay, now, I can tell you one thing, Jackie. It's not why he doesn't count Tamim Tiyaim Hashem Elokecha as a mitzvah. The Ramban in the last line, right above the 7, says, V'ulai chashav harav shehit tzava'a kolelet hamitzvot kulan lalechet b'darkei ha-Torah, and therefore lo hevia b'cheshbono. Says the Ramban, I know the Rambam doesn't count this as a mitzvah. Perhaps he doesn't count it because he thinks it's a mitzvah kolelas. What's a mitzvah kolelas? Look at source number 8. Okay, we've talked before. The Rambam, as an introduction to his Sefer HaMitzvot, put down 14 shorashim, 14 principles by which he determines if something gets counted or not. Okay, the fourth of those 14 principles is in source number 8. Hashoresh harivii, she'ein ra'ui limnot hatzivuyim hakolalim hatorah kula. Says the Rambam, I don't count commandments that are not really unique commandments. They're simply broad statements that you should keep the Torah. For example, hine, yavo'u ba'torah tzivuyin va'azharot, einan bidvar remez, aval yichlulu ha'mitzvot kulam. You have these statements in the Torah. They sound like, they read like they're mitzvos, but they're just broad statements. Ka'amro, u'bechol asher amarti alechem tishameru. Right, so it sounds like shamor is a verb. It should be counted as a mitzvah. Says, no, all it says is the Torah. Similarly, et chukotai tishmeru ve'et mishpatai ta'asu. Or, u'shmartem et mishmarti ve'rabim ka'ele. Says the Rambam, there are tons of psukim in the Torah that read like mitzvos, but are not mitzvos. They're just broad statements urging us to keep the Torah. So presumably, and it makes a lot of sense to me, the Rambam would say, Tamim Tiyaim Hashem Elokecha falls into the category of broad statements. There's nothing particularly binding about that statement. It just means be a good Jew. But for the Ramban, no, it means something specific. It means that you're not allowed to believe in other forces that exist. For the Rambam, those other forces don't exist, so there's no need to really prohibit it. But for the Ramban, those forces do exist, and therefore I think he would say, you know, the mitzvah is to believe that the source of everything that matters to us in our lives is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to believe in any other power, we know this to be true, it undermines our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no two ways around it. Okay. That's the machlokes Rambam and Ramban, whether it's counted as a mitzvah, and also whether there's any truth to any of this. But now let's take a minute to deal with a side issue, but it's a fascinating one. It seems like we sometimes do things that are in violation of this idea. And the, you know, naturally it's in the Rambam, and you need to read it carefully. We're so used to, you know, our assumption is, I guess properly so, that if everybody does it, it must be fine. Okay, so this will undoubtedly offend some people here, Henry first of all, but what are you going to do? It's Torah. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Chacham, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Bet, Halochesh al Hamaka. Let's assume that's kind of whispering over a wound. Vikorei pasuk min haTorah. Somebody's sick, so you read psukim to make him better. Okay, v'hamaniach sefer Torah utzfilin ala katan bishvil sheyishan. You put a sefer in a crib because it's going to stop the kid from waking up. Says the Rambam, lo dai lahem shehin bichlal menachshim v'chovrim. It's not enough, says the Rambam, that these people believe in all kinds of superstitions that are prohibited. Ela shehem bichlal hakofrim batorah. They're kofrim. Not going to translate. Shehein osin divrei Torah refuat guf ve'einan ela refuat nefashot. Because these people are using Torah to cure disease. And no, Torah cures your soul. It doesn't cure your body. Aval habar. Okay. Now, this is where it gets scary. Aval habari shekarab sukin umizmar mi tehilim. But if you're healthy and you like to say tehilim, kidei shetagein alav zuchut kriyatan. You want to say tehilim so that the merit of saying tehilim will protect you. You're healthy. V'yinatzel mitzarot uminizakim harei ze mutar. And these things will, if you stay, you know, if you say tehilim and you're healthy, they'll help you to stay healthy. Says the Rambam, it's mutar. It's not, it's certainly not a full-throated endorsement, but the Rambam says it's mutar. What's the problem? The problem is each of us say tehillim for the most part when somebody's very sick, which the Rambam seems to say is prohibited. It really sounds that way. Why? Because we're using means instead of the end. It's like we figured out these tricks. If you say, you know, Tehillim Yud Bet, Nun Gimel, and Kuf Chaf Bet, you know, the person's hearing will be cured, right? You could find all these lists of Tehillim that work for particular ailments. The Rambam thinks that that's completely usur.
But Eli, doesn't he, this is Joel, doesn't he feel that way or believe that way because most of the time, I guess his concern is that people will think that they are causing the cure through saying Tehillim as opposed to praying to Hashem to do.
So give me a chance. So give me a chance. So obviously, you know, everybody does it. Okay, so what's going on? So you could say, this Rav Asher said. Rav Asher said, like, you could just say we don't pass him like the Rambam. But no one wants to say that. No one wants to feel like their Tehillim is, you know, the answer is it's not. And the explanation is found in the Sefer Achinuch. There's a number of explanations, but I think this is the one that speaks to me the most. Source number 10 says the Sefer Achinuch, Ukvar Amru Zichronam Livracha Alze Asur Lihitrapot B'divrei Torah. It's prohibited to try to cure somebody through Torah. And not to point out the obvious, certainly through wearing like a red bracelet, certainly, you know, from going to the kever of some person, all, you know, if Tehillim is problematic, all these other things would be completely prohibited.
Eli?
So then what's going on? Says the Chinuch, Aval, his kiro lomar mizmarim elu, but you are allowed to say particular prakim of Tehillim, sheyesh bohem divarim, that have content, ye'oreru hanefesh hayodea otam lachasot bashem, ulahasim bo kol mivtacho. Says the Chinuch, and I'm sure this is true in the Rambam, that if you say Tehillim, I'll say it in my words, if you say Tehillim because you believe that there's magic to Tehillim, because you believe that God cannot say no if you finish all of Sefer Tehillim in some period of time, that's problematic. But if you read particular Prakim of Tehillim or all of Sefer Tehillim to inspire you so that you yourself become a better person, so that you yourself become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you yourself become more dependent and believe more firmly in God's control of the world. V'likvoa bilvavo yirato, to establish in your heart your fear of God, v'lismoch al chasto v'tuvo, and to help you believe in God's grace and goodness, u'mitoch hitorerut al ze yihien nishmar b'lisafek mikol nezek. Says the Chinuch, if saying Tehillim makes you better, okay, if saying Tehillim inspires you to a greater belief in God and to a greater fear of God and to greater acts of chesed, and Tehillim is a means to the end being your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, then it's a great thing. But if you believe that there are tricks, right? If you believe that there are shortcuts, then I think the Chinuch and the Rambam would say it's completely prohibited, right?
Ellie?
You know, one second, I'm not finished. If you, you know, if you believe that saying a particular number of Tehillim every day, you know, forces God's hand, I think that's problematic. If saying a particular number of Tehillim every day makes you better, makes you feel closer to God, makes you more dependent on God and all these other things, it's the greatest thing ever. Take a better example, okay? If you believe that going to somebody's kever is going to, you know, that the dead person will help you, what have you, I think the Rambam would say that's an Isser D'oraisa. But if you believe that going to somebody's kever will inspire you, being there will inspire you personally, and it's your obligation, you take personal responsibility for it, it's not as a shortcut, then it seems okay. I don't know if the Rambam would be thrilled by it, but certainly that seems okay. It's the shortcuts that are prohibited.
So yes. It works well with the Chumash. I mean, when Moshe had the Nachash to cure people, and he raised his hand, the whole idea, look to Shemayim, and same thing, Tehillim, going to Kibbutz Rachel. The idea is looking towards heaven to, you know, so the Rambam and the Chinuch would not necessarily disagree. It's the mindset rather than the action.
Good. So long as it's a means and not an end, I think there are, you know, everybody would say that is consistent with Tamim Tiyei Mashem Elokecha. The problem is if you believe, coming back to the Ramban, and it's a problem. The problem is if you believe that somebody else can fix your problem, that, you know, that's a problem because it takes away from your belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the end of the day, to be Tamim Im Hashem Elokecha requires you to believe that there's only one source of salvation. Everything else that brings you closer to that source of salvation is fine, so long as the goal is to bring you closer to the source of salvation. Now I want to go off the reservation and share with you some connected, I believe, thoughts on Noach. I want to claim that Ramban on this week's Parsha is consistent with everything we've said so far. Okay, so give me a second to explain. The Pasuk says as follows in source number 11. Well, you know what? Even before we start, okay, everybody knows in the first pasuk of the Pasha, right? Ve'el talos Noach, Noach ish tzadik tamim ayah b'dorotav, et olokim italech Noach, a pasuk that I would claim makes Noach sound like the greatest person ever. He's a tzadik tamim. What could be better than that? Everybody knows the first Rashi in the Pasha, right? Yesh dor shim lishvach, v'yesh dor shim lignai. Now you ask yourself, I understand why Chazal bothered. Okay, it says Bidorotav, right? One position is that had he been in the generation of Avram Avinu, he wouldn't have been anything great. The other position is no. If he was great in his generation, if he was in a better generation, he would be even greater. Okay, I think why is there even a discussion of this? Why is Noach being criticized in any way? He was a Navi, and he's the person God saved. Two ideas. The first is, after the Mabul, Noach does not exactly distinguish himself, right? The major story is that Noach becomes drunk. So there is this idea that, you know, in a generation of Rishayim, Noach stood out. Rav Lichtenstein talked about this many times. He talked about, just as an aside, but it's a great idea, having a Noach personality, which is when you're better than everyone else, you're fantastic. But when there's nobody else to be better than, you know, you backslide. So that's one possibility. But we all know the other possibility, which is there's no one else who's saved other than Noach. It does not seem that Noach did a very good job of outreach with respect to the Teva, right? If Noach was an NCSY advisor, he would be fired. Not a single person in 120 years that he had, you know, did tshuva enough to be saved. Okay, now, with that as a background, let's go back to this fantastic Ramban. The Ramban says, the Pasuk says, Noach had to gather up two of every single species in the world. Yadua ki hachayot rabot me'od. The Ramban says, everybody knows there's a ton of animals. Umehen gidolot me'od kipilim ukire'emim v'zulatam. Not only that, says the Ramban, some of these animals are really big, like elephants. Re'emim, nobody seems to know exactly, but there's some big, you know, to get people upset. There's some dinosaur, I don't know, v'zulatam. V'haremes haromes al haaretz rav ma'od. There's tons and tons of different species of birds and creepy crawling things and whatever. Not only that, so the Ramban says, it's an enormous number of animals. Not only that, v'hine yitztarech lahavim mikulam sheyolidu kimotam. Not only that, yeah, so first of all, right. First of all, so Noah has to bring from every single species so that they'll continue. V'ka'asher te'esof l'kulam ma'achal asher ye'achel l'shanat mimah. On top of that, he has to collect enough food to feed all these living creatures for a full year. Says the Ramban, lo tachil otam hateva hazot v'lo eser kiyotzeba. The Ramban says, the gigantic teva that Noah was building was not big enough and wouldn't have been big enough if it was 10 times the size of what Noah built. Okay, radical statement from the Ramban. So how did it work? You're not going to like the answer, but then you'll like the explanation. Aval hunes hechazik mu'at et hamirube. Yeah, classic miracle. Something that should have only held, you know, space for 10 units, held 1,000 units. Okay, great. What's the obvious question? The obvious question, which the Ramban asks, is as follows. V'im tomar, and if you're going to say, well, if God made a miracle, ya'asena kitana v'yismoch al hanes hazeh. Well, if God was going to make a miracle, why did he make Noah build an ark the size of a football field? He could have had him build a rowboat. He could have had him build something tiny. It would have been an even bigger miracle. Or he could have had him not build anything. God could have saved him in a million, in an infinite number of ways. Why did he make him build such a big teva? And now the Ramban is going to share in one line his philosophy of miracles. Here it goes. Va'od asu ota gidola lema'et b'neis. The Ramban says, God wants to minimize the quantity and the quality of miracles. Ki kein haderech b'chol hanisim shebatorah ubinevim. Says, this is how miracles work in Tanakh. La'asot ma shebiyad adam la'asot, v'hashar yihyeh bidei shamayim. The Ramban says as follows. You know how miracles work? It's not the way we think of them. And let's admit it. We've gotten this wrong our whole lives. We normally think to ourselves, you know, if God wants to make a miracle, he'll make a miracle. It's not for me to get in the way. Says the Ramban, it's the exact opposite. The way God set up the world is human beings do their maximum, and then God finishes the miracle. But if human beings don't do the maximum, then God's not going to do his part. Admittedly, he didn't say that. I'm saying that. But I think it's clear in the Ramban, right? We think there's a difference. There's human initiative, and then there's God. And it's binary, right? There are two separate things. There are the things we control, and the things that God controls. Says the Ramban, we're completely wrong about that. We're supposed to, God responds to our efforts. God required Noah, as a representative of humanity, to do his best to save him and all the animals in some kind of natural way. Only then was God going to come and do a miracle, right? We think, you know, do it. The people who say, and yes, now I'm editorializing, but I deeply believe this. You know, people who say, listen, God promised us the state of Israel, so God will give us the state of Israel. I think the Ramban would say, that's ridiculous, right? The way it's supposed to work is the way it worked in the Six-Day War. Make an army, have a great army, have great generals, have great strategy, do everything you can, and then God shows up and completes it. And maybe he completes it in a way that we don't even notice the miracle because we're so convinced that it was our greatness that did it. But it's not. And when we think of being a tamim, so sometimes we think to ourselves, tamim is to be passive and to believe that God will provide. Okay, but it's not that way. The Ramban says God makes miracles in response to human initiative. And maybe, you know, there's something to say about Corona, about that also, that we're supposed to do our part. And if we do our part, then we could turn to God and ask him to do something else. But if we're not going to do our part, well, then what would it be worth? I'm going to regret telling this story, but I'm going to do it anyway because I love it. Rav Amital once told it in yeshiva, so it must be okay. He said, you know, a childless chassid came to the Rebbe. Okay, Elka's making faces at me. Okay, a childless chassid, it was on Shabbos Zohar and he was drinking. So maybe, okay, childless chassid came to the Rebbe and he asked him for a bracha. They've been married for 8 years. They don't have any children. Okay, the Rebbe gave him a bracha. And wouldn't you know it, a year later, they had a boy. There was a bris. The Rebbe was a son. It was fantastic. Great joy. Okay, then something bad happened and the guy lost his parnasa a few years later. So he comes to the Rebbe and he says, I need a bracha for parnasa. So the Rebbe gives him a bracha for parnasa. A year later, he comes back to the Rebbe. He says, I don't understand. When I came to you for a bracha for a child, you gave me a bracha and I had a child. But you gave me a bracha for parnasa. I've gone home. I'm waiting a year. Nothing happened. So the Rebbe says to him, when I gave you a bracha to have a child, did you go home and do something? Okay? That's the point. The point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, we have to do our part. And if we do our part, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does his part. But if we just sit, you know, if we just wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fix the world, the Ramban says, it's never going to happen. And maybe that's why Noach was called a Tamim. Okay, this last point you could argue with me on, but I like it, so I'm going to say it anyway. Maybe that was Noach's Tamimus in the negative way. Okay, there are all kinds of parallels. We don't have time to. There are all kinds of parallels between Noach and Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, Moshe was put in a teva, Noach was in a teva. And the psukim described the dates in the same way. And Moshe Rabbeinu was told, after 7 days, you'll go up to Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And Noach was told, after 7 days of rain, you'll go in the teva and you'll be in there for 40 days and 40 nights. All these parallels. And there's a medrash, an amazing medrash in source number 12. Davar Acher, it's unbelievable. Noach amar l'Moshe, I guess. And he says to him, Ani gadol mimcha, I'm greater than you. Shenitzalti midor hamabul. Right, so amar l'Moshe, what are you talking about? Ani nitzalto et atzmecha. You saved yourself. V'lo haya b'cha koach lahatzil et Dorech, but you didn't have the power to save your generation. Avalani hitzalti et atzmi v'hitzalti et dori. Kishenit chayvu klaya be'egel. Minayin shlema v'inachem Hashem al ha'ra asher diber lasot lamo. He was going to wipe everybody out, and Moshe convinced God not to do it. Wait, Noah, how did Noah think that he had succeeded? How could Noah think he was greater than Moshe? My understanding is as follows. Noah was clueless. Noach thought that God wanted exactly what he described, which is he wanted to destroy the world and he wanted to save Noach, and that human initiative would have gotten in the way. I think Noach never had the slightest thought that he was supposed to go out and try to get people to do tshuva. He was a tamim. He did exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Noach, I'm going to destroy the world. I want to save you. He wasn't a bad person, God forbid. I have nothing, you know. But I think that in Chazal, you find hints of this. He was a tamim in the negative sense. He believed that God controls and human beings are passive. And if God wants to destroy the world, he'll destroy the world. Ad kidei kach, that it never dawned on him to argue in favor of the other people, right? And therefore, we don't think of ourselves as direct descendants of Noah. B'nei Noah are goyim. We're B'nei Avraham. The person who, when God said to him, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Amorah, he said, don't, right? There's the great kind of tamim, which is, I believe that God is the sole source of redemption in my life. There's the bad kind of tamim, or the less good type of tamim, which is, God will do. Whatever God does will be fine with me. I believe in God. It's a lovely thing. But I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more of us. And I think the mitzvah of Tamim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha demands more of us than simply, you know, not looking to other sources and not looking for other help. It demands of us to look inside ourselves and answer the question, in whom do we trust? If the answer is every day I realize that every success I have and everything that matters to me in my life is dependent on only one thing, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the kiyum of the mitzvah of Tamim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. But if you believe that it's only God, and therefore I have no impact, and I have no responsibility, and I, you know, God will do what He wants, I think that's a misunderstanding of Tamim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. Tamim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha is to partner with God, to do as much as you can, and to believe that beyond that, it's all up to Him. Yashkach to everybody. That's all I got. Almost out of time. Shabbat Shalom.
Yashkach, thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Good Shabbat to everyone.
Yashkach.
Shabbat.
Thank you.